Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're going to go to James, I believe. We're going to go to James this morning, and we're going to go to 3 and talk about a couple of things. Obviously, James 3 is that which deals with the tongue. You know, if one of the challenges for the Christian was to just simply not use bad languages, a lot of Christians would actually do decent. But the power of the tongue and what it does sometimes is goes far deeper than coarse language or even just simple bad news. We want to go to 3:1 today. How many times have you sat and you would listen to someone and it would have an effect on you? They would talk to you. They would speak things to you. And if it was truth, it was powerful. Even if it was truth that was difficult to swallow, it was powerful. But there are so many ways that we affect each other with our speech, things we say. Now, I'm not going to sit up here today and say, only give me good news. I want truth. I want God to speak to me through you. I want, you know, what you say, the Lord says, the stuff you say, let it be the oracles of God. How many times I have seen a whisper effect change somebody's life? How many times I've seen a word of encouragement fuel somebody and they knew God was speaking to them? How many times have I seen gossip destroy someone? Divisiveness, the same thing, slander, affects the being. You know, words actually matter big time. And it's interesting how many times we value words and that we value people that can speak in a persuasive way, but we don't really in a lot of ways understand how God has designed words to be something else for us. But I want you to start in 1. I want to get into this. It says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Okay? So, I found something interesting. I found that a lot of Christians like to say stuff and be heard, but most Christians really don't want a stricter judgment when they stand before God. And that's understandable because there's a weightiness to it when you're a teacher. And there's something that we have to think about. In fact, anybody that I saw with a calling to preach, I would read this James 3:1 to them and just say, you have to have the gravity of this in your spirit. That when you are speaking, when you are teaching, you get what I'm saying, guys? That you got to understand this. You got to get a hold of this. And then moving on, I want you to think this too. I think about this. Be careful when you're called to teach. And then verse 2 says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Words are just not words to the Christian. They're not just words. When somebody says, those were just words I said, Jesus did not set up your tongue that way. Your mouth was made to sometimes reveal your heart. Your mouth was made to bridle the rest of your body. So when your tongue is not in line and is not governed by the Lord, and I'm not even talking about some slip in a moment of anger, but I'm talking consistently, our tongues either rein in the rest of our being, because this is what the Lord says. We stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, also, what we're seeing here is something quite simple, and I want you to think about this for a minute, okay? The writer, James, he says it very clearly, hey, we all stumble in many ways. So what he's basically, it implies, and when it says we all stumble, even in the Greek, it's a major emphatic. So we all stumble. When the writer's writing this, you can't necessarily see it as you read your English Bible, but when he says we all, put those letters in bold. But apparently what James is saying is, listen, there's other ways you stumble, but very importantly, remember, if you stumble in what you say, you got major problems. It's going to make mistakes, but what he's actually saying, he's narrowing the margin down. He's saying, listen, if you want to watch an area, did somebody ever tell you, there's a lot of stuff I could tell you, but if I could tell you one thing, do this, don't do that. In a lot of ways, this is exactly what James is getting at. We all stumble in many ways, but And let's even put a but there. But if you don't stumble with your mouth, it shows you're able to bridle your being. Now, we know that even the words there, okay? For we all stumble in many ways, we are perfect and able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, we think about horses, and you put a bit and you put a bridle to guide them. See, a lot of times we talk in a way that, even as Christians, that we don't really believe words amount to much. We really don't. Even if we just say them to ourselves, nobody hears them. Even if we just think them. And we don't see our mouth as that which tames our body. We see that differently. People say all kinds of stuff. And the Christian that talks without regard for his mouth like this doesn't understand that either you're bridling, either you're putting a harness on your body and able to control it, or actually you're showing that you're not bridled, that there's no bit in your mouth, that the Lord doesn't have control of you, the rest of your being. The sad thing is many Christians don't believe this at all. They don't even believe it. They won't even put the emphasis. Your mouth's either speaking in a way that is releasing a ton of stuff in good ways or in bad ways. So there's a point with James, and obviously first he covers the teachers, but then in verse 2 he gets right into the dynamic of our tongue. And he gets right into the dynamic of what it does. When we start speaking, and this isn't about you are not God, there is only one God in heaven. You didn't create the universe, there is only one creator. But as his sons and daughters in our lives, the one thing we cannot get away from is that it is really an emphatical point here that when we learn what to release and not release things, and we learn as God would have us speak a particular way, we're bridling the body. We're taking control over the rest. See, a lot of people, the just words bothers me because nothing in the scripture says your words are just words. Nothing in the scripture says, even if you speak unfruitfully, it won't do nothing to you. It's just words. And besides, you're living your life. And the scripture actually comes the opposite way. I've watched Christian after Christian begin to speak in ways, even with, and I'm not even saying bad towards each other, but I've seen Christians begin to speak in defeatist ways, in ways that didn't represent God's truth in their life and their situations. And what they didn't realize is they were releasing that and saying, boy, I feel like this, I do this, I can't believe this. And they don't even realize as you're doing that, there's no control. It's going to affect their situation. It's going to affect the way they feel. It's going to affect their entire body. I love the one that I was talking to a believer once about a mouth that I didn't believe represented the Lord, that I believed it didn't represent the truth of God's scripture. And I got the comment you hear so many times, you know, just words. I didn't mean any of it. I've heard this so many times, and yet it's not what the scripture says. James is trying to give the believers a source. And again, I want to emphasize, there's so many ways we speak that have nothing to do with whether you got angry and said darn it one time or even worse. But it has to do with the consistency of speech that reveals a lot. But I want to say this. Just as much as if you start saying stuff a certain way, it kind of releases you into that path. And what I mean by that, when you start speaking unbelief, when you start speaking hopelessness, It opens the floodgates. People don't realize this. It does open the floodgates. It starts changing your very being. I don't mean like magic, but what you're willing to say is obviously what you're willing to do. And what you're willing to say is obviously giving permission to do or to feel a particular way. I've watched people that are so not paying attention in their speech. It is not that it just gives them away, but it releases them, and they just start talking down, and they start talking down, and they start talking down, and before you know it, they're in a pit. And the funny thing is, it's not even that sometimes what they said represented truthfully what God was doing in their life. But as they began to talk, the bridle came out, the bridle came off them, the bit was not in their mouth, they couldn't be controlled. Then they were depressed, then they were hopeless, then they couldn't see the hand of God anymore. But to them, they just said a few things. It wasn't a big deal. In fact, many of us believe our situation is truly what affects our emotions, and that's a lie. If the truth is my situation, I'm talking physically, what I just see with my eyes really reflects the truth of what's about to happen. If that's true, then not a person in the scripture would have ever succeeded or survived. Because nothing in the scripture happen according to what was seen in the physical. nothing. These people of God and these heroes of God. And it is important. Now, we saw people distort this with simple positive speak. Which, you know, say good things, don't say bad things. But it's so much deeper with your tongue. Because, again, do you want to be a perfect man? Do you want to be able to bridle the whole body? And I want to explain this. There is words about perfect in the scripture that refer to perfect, without flaw, without error. But even in the terms, when the writer says, if you can, you know, does not stumble in what you say, you are a perfect man. It doesn't mean you're without flaw, but this word perfect speaks of a consistency. It speaks of a success. It is not without blemish, but it is perfectly consistent. And a lot of people need to understand, here's the other thing. When the writer in James says, if you don't stumble in what you say, you will be able to bridle the whole body as well. He is not speaking something that no man can do, that no believer can do. Otherwise, this verse would actually not make any sense. When this writer says, hey, you can bridle your tongue and you can be a perfect man, not perfect without flaw, but perfectly consistent. It's because believers, we can get a hold of the way we speak. We can get a hold of how this either releases a lot of garbage in our life, how we either ruminate, how we just keep bringing up depression. We keep speaking hopelessness. We keep speaking only to what our human eye sees. We keep speaking of, this is so bad, this is so this. And, you know, I looked at, and I honestly thought about this really hard, and I thought, Lord, every time in the scripture that I see your works, I'm always seeing them against a backdrop of what you could physically see is it's an impossibility, always. Whether it's Moses at the Red Sea, whether it's Peter and them singing in the prison, and then there's an earthquake and the doors all open, I'm constantly seeing men that spoke according to the truth of God, the facts, the truth. They didn't ignore facts that were going on, but they saw deeper truth. If you take a look at it, especially when we get into the New Testament and we understand that, do you want to bridle the whole body as well? And there is a deep need that we can control. There is a deep need that we place a standard on ourselves and say, you know what? I could spew a bunch of negative junk regarding my own life, but not only would that be, it'd be a disservice to God, and it would be disrespectful because, God, if you're really in control, then why am I going to whine or say it's hopeless? Why am I going to say all this stuff? It defies the reality. If you're Lord of all, you're Lord of all. If you're in control of my life, you're in control of my life. And even when we are faced with a situation that may say, you're cooked, you're done, there's no hope, this is over, even then God is asking you to bridle your tongue. And I love the one thing I've heard, if I take people to task with their words, they'll say, hey, I'm just being real. No, not at all. You're not being real. I'd love to read the Bible and all the people made statements that were simply being real. I mean, imagine Moses at the Red Sea. That would have been a heck of a thing right there. We're going to drown or we're going to be slaughtered. Take your pick. Israel, stand back and see the mass suicide of God's people throwing themselves into the Red Sea so the chariots don't catch them. The most important thing is to understand that we are no different than our brothers and sisters even in the scripture. You know, it's interesting. We read about all these amazing people, and we start to understand that, quite frankly, they are testimony to us. They're showing us the way. Even Jesus coming to this earth and living 33 and a half years was showing sonship and how it's to be done. But I like this. Now, it says in verse 2 that we are, if we can control, if anyone doesn't stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. Another thing is, you're speaking about the life, your situation, speaking into others. It's funny that it uses the word to stumble, because stumbling means to fall down. Now, one thing I understand better than many normal human beings is what it is to stumble and fall. Because I've fallen so many times, there was no humanly counting how many times I have physically fallen. Just based on a neurological issue, I tripped. And it's interesting that it talks about stumbling. Because, you know, when your words are as such and you stumble, it is like you've hit the ground. You have to get back up. But when it says, if you are able to not stumble in what you say, you're a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now again, interesting, bridle is an aorist tense, and what it really deals with is the fact of a contemplated fact. It's a fact. I'm going to watch what I say, and therefore I am going to be able to bridle my entire body, and that's going to be a contemplated fact. I'm committed to this for a long time term of doing something. But for many years, even as a pastor, I put very little value on the tongue. I'm like, yeah, our tongues are a restless evil, full of deadly poison. But, I mean, just saying a few things doesn't change the course of my life. But actually, it does. I can go back in my life to when I started saying certain things even as a teenager, as a kid. And it began to alter the course of my being. And it began to alter it more. And I said worse things and worse things and worse things. And my conscience didn't bother me. And it began to press through. And you begin to do this and you begin to do this. And your whole being becomes unbridled. Think about this for a minute. Words matter. It's interesting. In fact, our own heart gets mixed in with our words. Many Christians are a mixture of God's word and something else many times. Many times Christians speak, even they pray, they walk and they talk, and you can hear a mixture of some truths and a whole lot of dilution, a whole lot of pollution. Now we're going to go down a little bit. And he goes through the example. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. The next time you want to release a zinger, you need to think that it actually matters. See, once Christians get into the habit of belittling what they say and not believing it has a deep impact, the next thing that will follow logically is their tongue will slip a lot. And once they feel they're just words, in fact, many times I've seen Christians say foolish things, profanities, believing somehow that what they just did emphasized their point stronger, and that's absolute nonsense. It doesn't do that at all. In fact, when you see a Christian doing that, what you're watching is one taking the bit and the bridle off of their body as well. And as they speak that garbage, it's affecting their actual steps. And yet, even though the scripture is exceedingly clear on this, many Christians play a game. I call it verbal gymnastics, and they believe they can bounce around, and it doesn't matter. Now, when James brings this up about the horses and the ships, he's just saying, look, guys, you may see your mouth as a little part of your body. You may see your words as inconsequential. You may even play with your vocabulary and think it's without effect. But the fact of the matter is, just as in a ship, just as in a horse, so your tongue has this ability to set on fire everything. You can burn your house down with your mouth. You can burn your neighbor's house down with your mouth. You can burn your family's house down with your mouth. And that's just the beginning. The writer is trying to show us here that this is the reality of how it works. The small member boasts of such, it's, you know, see how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. You know, every time, many times when we see these national forest fires, and it's a pity, because thousands and thousands of acres of good trees are burned down. A lot of times it's a campfire, it's a cigarette, it's something peonic, but once it starts burning, you got 100,000 square acres of fire. Every example in our life shows us just this tongue thing of ours, this mouth of ours, has an ability to do amazing things, to build things up. But boy, words can also bring things down to the ground. But the possibilities are either way. Either the ship crashes because its rudder is broken, or the horse runs wild off a cliff because it has no bit or bridle. And it says in verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. You could take two people and line them up in a situation, same situation, but two different people. And you can listen to one speak, and they're speaking the things God would have them speak in their situation. You go right to another person, right next to them, same situation, nothing different. And they're doing great. And you listen to their speech, and they see it differently, and they speak differently. And it isn't the situation that dictated how they talked. It's how they responded with their mouth to their situation that really dictated everything else. I've seen people at work, and they just hate it. They hate it. They come in and say, I can't stand being here. And at lunch, they're like, I still hate this job. And I'm thinking, I'm in the same site as you, but you can't stand it. And that tells me two things. Your 8 hours are going to be the longest 8 hours compared to mine. And in your eyes, with your mouth, you have made this a horrible place to be. You hate everything about it. And the more you talk, the worse the job gets. But actually, not true. The more you talk, the worse you get. The job actually is stationary. It hasn't changed. You have changed. Do you realize sometimes when we go through life in different situations in our life, the way we speak, we talk as if the situation is descending into something, and many times the situation is it's the same. We are descending. Our attitude is descending. Situation's not doing anything different. And isn't it funny how we start off in a situation and then all of a sudden we talk, we allow things out of our mouth we shouldn't, we complain, and then before you know it, it's a hellhole we work in. I've seen this with jobs. I've seen it with church service. I've seen it with people serving in churches. I've seen this all the time. And this is why James gives such a strong warning, because it is the very thing that boasts and also sets aflame and burns everything to the ground. Now, this is what's interesting. The tongue is described in that, and it says it can defile your entire being, that which defiles the entire body. Think about this for a minute. See, this is interesting. Most people study symptoms, and what I mean is their tongue begins to speak. It begins to affect them. Then they begin to do things. It started with their mouth. It didn't start with their actions. Their actions are actually more of a symptom of what already started. And they think that somehow their mouth had not a darn thing to do with anything that they've done. And the poison that begins to come out of it. And that's the funny thing. If we understand this, and, you know, people kind of go, well, it's just what I was thinking. I'm going to tell you something. The distance between your brain and your mouth is very short. It's inches. Not even, barely. But what you don't understand, if a thought comes to your mind, and it disagrees with God's word, it disagrees with what God says you should say, and you start thinking, and you know what? I'm not letting that out of my mouth, because number one, that thought is even valid. You're going to be shocked. You're going to be shocked at how it changes your being. See, a lot of people don't even really read this into the scripture. They don't even remember it. They see it, they heard it in a sermon, they run past it. But with this being such a severe warning, it's also a possibility of a blessing for us. How does God feel about the situation? How does God feel about that? How does God want you to speak about that situation? You know, it's interesting, and again, I go back to situations I've seen people in. It's the same people. One succeeds in the same situation, the other absolutely grounds out. And but you watch their mouths, and they speak very differently one from the other. You know what's interesting, too? As we speak, I mean, I thought about this, too. You know, I had that scripture in my mind this morning when we began to pray. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go into the innermost being. You know, it's an interesting thing when people gossip and they're divisive, and they whisper into your ear. Do you realize a lot of people will take stuff in? They'll receive it. They'll receive it. Sometimes receiving means you just simply will listen when garbage is being spoken. And it changes their attitude. It changes their being. It changes how they feel about things. And they don't even understand it. Somebody can whisper death into your ear. Somebody can whisper division into your ear. Somebody can whisper stuff into your ear. It goes into your innermost being. Because you took it in, you're digesting it. And as you're digesting it, you are what you eat. You know, even where we're sometimes on a job site, people play music. Some of it I don't like, and some of it I really don't like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been approached, somebody said, you wear earbuds all the time. And I said, well, yeah, so I don't got to hear that wretched stuff you're playing through the radio. Yeah. At first, they were knocking me for the earbuds. You got to focus, take the earbuds. Like, the garbage I have to hear on so many sites, it's garbage. And yeah, I have to admit, these are called earplugs, not buds, and I use them for a reason. I don't want to hear, if I hear another country song about a betrayed lover, I'm going to go mad. I really believe it's a mental disorder, but long story short. But again, I want you to think about this for a second. What you're allowing to come into your ear is powerful. It can be the difference between life and death. It can change your attitude. It can change your whole rotation of your life. And do you realize many of us, all of us, are either recipients of the benefits of the tongue or we are victims of what the tongue can do. Or we have victimized with our own tongue. And most human beings, all three categories fit. You know, it's funny. I've seen the words of another burn the house down of another because of their words. I've watched it, and it's serious stuff. I've watched great carnage, death, and destruction due to the tongue. I've watched divisions tear apart whole churches just because a whisperer started talking, saying things they should have never been saying. Because let's be honest, when you're there causing division, you're never in the right, ever. The only division I want is between truth and lie. But I hate to say this, most of the time that's not what's going. But it's interesting, it says it's what the tongue is what can defiles the entire body. Now, this doesn't say that the tongue has to defile your entire body. But when I looked at it, it sets on the course of our life. It sets on fire the course. Now, what this means, the course represents walking and actually walking through your life. The tongue can start a fire that just doesn't burn in the moment, but it starts a fire that you start walking through. It starts burning down your situations. It starts burning down things you're going to come into. Fire is not stationary. One thing we know about fire, and if God wanted to use a different analogy, he could have used water, he could have used smoke, he could have used vapor. But the word the Lord uses is fire. And what does fire do the most? It spreads. In fact, if fire has nothing it can burn, what happens? It stops. That's a beautiful thing about fire. Unless it has something that it can catch on fire, it'll go no further. But it says that point blank, and this is powerful stuff, that the tongue is set among our members as that which can defile the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life. So when your words start going out and they're the things that God would not have you say, it just doesn't burn you for the moment. It just sets on course, upsets the whole course of your life on fire. This is how severe this stuff is. Think about it for a minute. Having the course of your life on fire because of your mouth. So it just didn't burn me today, it's going to burn me tomorrow. Unless I change something, it's going to continue to burn the course of my life, the way of my life. That's one of the most powerful scriptures. Many people gloss over it because they kind of, yeah, it's a tongue and it's deadly and it does this and it's little, but it does great things and great damage. And they don't understand that it's probably one of the most pivotal verses sometimes that they can read in the New Testament because it truly defines that which is wrecking us or making us, that which is blessing us or breaking us, that which is building us or causing a demolition of our life. There are times you have to make decisions that, you know, I'm not taking that in my ear. I don't want to hear it. I'm not taking it in because God would never say that to me. And I'm not going to speak it because he would never have me speak that to another. This is critical stuff. This is what makes or breaks us in our life. You know, it's interesting. We get warning about grumbling and complaining about this stuff last week. And what does Israel do? 40 years in the wilderness, they grumble and they complain. They take a current situation that God had actually brought them into because God was leading them from Egypt to the promised land, and they find something to complain about it. Human beings, we are naturally prone, if we allow our flesh, to complain about everything. And yet it is the murmuring and the complaining that cut them off from the promised land. I tell Christians, be real careful if you're a complainer. Because the place we see it in Scripture is the place where it wiped out an entire generation that could not enter God's promise for them. The problem with grumbling and complaining, it doesn't wreck it for other people only, but it also wrecks my ability to enter God's promises. And until we get that in our spirit, you know, the Lord will take you if you're that type of person, and he will actually take you, and he'll make your situation grim to where that thing you're complaining about looks amazing now. And then you realize it was your attitude, it was your mind. Everybody has situations. Not everybody complains. Everybody goes through trials. Not everybody grumbles. Everybody gets wrong. Not everybody grumbles. And this is a really important thing in James, because I don't want the course of my life set on fire. I don't want to defile my entire being by my own mouth. But the beautiful thing is, all this stuff we read in the scripture and the warnings also gives the opposite message. You can actually control. God will give you that bit, that bridle. You can speak in a way that blesses your entire being versus curses your entire being. But we have a lot of speech in the world, and we have a lot of useless speech. We have not only bad speech, we have idle speech. We have speech that you could talk about a lot of things and actually say very little of anything. As my wife has said, verbiage, 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 you know, just words. So many times, even in the body of Christ, you see things and it's like, that's just a bunch of garbage words. It doesn't mean a lot. It's not going to really help anybody. But I want you to think about this, because this is really, really important. But I had that impression this morning. People could speak with disrespect to you and put you down. You listen enough, it'll affect you. Absolutely. People can speak in your ear, divisions or strife they have with someone that you have no problem with. And what is it? I've watched people's lives, their actual countenance change when they've been the victim of a gossip, when they've been the victim of a divider. Their countenance actually changes. They're different. Now they've taken a strife from another person with another person, taken it into their own heart, and it pollutes them. It dilutes them. It changes them. Now they're angry about something that they actually had nothing to do with. What a destructive thing. We see it happen in every level. We see it happen in marriages. We see it happen in parenting. One parent allows bad rapping of the other parent by the kids. It's just bad news. It just doesn't work good. Because the problem was, the front gets up, it's no longer united, and it completely tears kids in half. I've watched it time and time again. In fact, I get very irritated when I see parents actually guilty of such a thing, because it's the most irresponsible thing I could do. Would be to allow speech that belittles my wife, or vice versa. She would allow speech that would belittle her husband. These are things that I've seen the effect ruin whole families, and it's not no surprise. I hate to say it. For it goes on, it says in 7, for every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. I want to say this, guys. No one can tame the tongue, but the Spirit of God can. You know, some people, I've heard them quote the first part, like, what are you going to do? No one can tame the tongue. This little sucker's evil. You know what I mean? And I'm sorry, it worked out good for you. Wish I could tame it. All this is really showing us is no power on earth can tame the human tongue when it's sin-ridden and it has fallen. But the good news is, Jesus, the Spirit of God, can come upon your being. Yeah. And can change. Look, I was raised in a home with a lot of profanity. We said the F word to pass the salt. You know what I mean? Pass the F and salt. You know, whatever. By the time I suffered almost third-degree burns, I started myself on fire. It's a long story. I was 9. Didn't mean to start myself on fire, but I had this infatuation with lighter fluid and gasoline. Just long story. Long story short, though, as I had this little cherub face. You know, I had a little pug nose and a little cherub face and these big brown eyes. And I had third-degree burns. I was in pain. So they rushed me in the emergency room, and they were trying to work on me. And I got to tell you, I was cussing better than any adult. I could have won a cussing Olympics that day. And I remember some of the nurses, they were almost in tears because my profanity was so dark that some of the nurses go, I can't do that. One nurse said, I can't hear this, because I was this little boy. You know, I weighed about 70 pounds, and I'm just ripping in there in pain, and I'm burning. And it freaked him out, actually. Some of the nurses, I heard him commenting that, my God, that what is he, 7? And he's cussing like a New York sailor on a dock. When I got saved, one thing I noticed, and it was funny, because that's how I talked normal, even as a teenager, even as a young teenager. And I got saved, and my mouth started curtailing. It just wasn't coming out anymore. I even tried to throw a few F-bombs. They just felt wrong. And there was an absence. So I saw firsthand of the ability of the Spirit of God to come into your life and change the way you speak. Now, we focus a lot on profanity, and I want to say, I'm not really worried. Most Christians don't string together great pearls of obscenities. We do speak with doubt. We do speak with attitude. We do speak with hopelessness. We do speak with anger. We do speak with strife. We do speak with lust. We're good at that. And these are the kind of the rotations of our life. There's good hope. The Spirit of God can always tame the tongue. Okay? But I love what he says in 9. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. I've seen people that will bless the Lord. They'll never say a bad word about God, but they certainly will curse those around them. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh water and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or vine produce figs? No, nor can salt water produce fresh. What James is saying is really simple. He's saying this is going on in the Christian community. Believers are doing this, but it shouldn't be this way. I love that. Have you ever did something that ought not be? Of course you have. You're a believer, and you're sitting right now. But I love what James says. It shouldn't be this way. Make it consistent. Even Jesus talked about making the fruit consistent. Consistently good or consistently bad. Now, in the last part, and we're going to close with this, it's really important. If you've been a victim, I got to tell you something, or if you've victimized, and you want to start watching the way you speak, you're not being unreal. You're not being a phony. I've heard people go, oh, they want to cuss, but they're just phony. They won't say it. No, that's actually not true. I want to break a myth that's often been in the body of Christ. I don't care if something came to your mind and you thought a really negative thing to say. It matters that it got out the trapdoors out of your mouth. But it also matters if you go, uh-uh, I'm not saying that. That's a victory. I've actually heard Christians spewing this, well, they're just a phony because they really wanted to cuss that person upside. No, it's called they bridled their body because they bridled their mouth. And something might have come to their minds, but they didn't go all the way through with it. I'm glad they are better off for shutting up. Many times the word we refrain from coming out of our mouth, the acoustics, it matters. Just being, I think me and you, Brother John, we've talked about, you know, Barbara, we've talked about, you know, your ears sometimes need to hear with your mouth. That vocal thing matters, especially when it comes to garbage. It really matters when you're like, oh, I was thinking it anyway, and you just rip with it. It's like, yeah, you would have better to end that one at the thought, put it to death, and it never came out of your mouth. I was years in the Lord before I actually realized that that mattered. I was one of those Christians like, well, you know what? I'm just, you know, it slipped. That's what I was feeling. Man, oh man, oh man, that's a myth. And it's garbage. It's foolish. But what James is saying, listen, when things are as they ought not be, let's change them. The possibility is absolutely there. And if you have been a victim from the poison you've listened to in your ear, if you've been a victimizer for the poison that you've allowed out of your mouth, there's always a place to start called today. Yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, today is what you got. I'm not going to sit there and moan about what I've said in the past, but if I'm going to take accountability today for what I say, and that my tongue can either defile my being or can bless my being. My tongue can either help defile another or bless another. We start getting a grip on this, it starts changing the course of our life. You know, many people, if I say, God wants to change the course of your life, they immediately start talking about what they do and don't do. But a lot of times I would correct and say, no. Your mouth, you don't even think it amounts to much. Your mouth is what's going to change first. Because what you're willing to let out of that thing as a believer, you're killing yourself. Stop. It matters. The scripture says it matters. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant, so lie against the truth. What he's saying is sometimes people speak things they shouldn't, but it's a God thing. You know, it was God that I said that. It was God that it was this. And they lie against the truth. Sometimes we are selfishly ambitious with the way we speak. And the only thing we want to do is be heard. Sometimes that's not really the biggest goal. There are times to be heard. But sometimes when in the church, people were spewing a whole lot of things. Some were God, some were not. Some were philosophical. They weren't God at all. But they would always put the God tag on stuff. You know how people do that. Oh, that was the Lord. Don't argue with that. Well, that was kind of stupid. I don't really think God would say that, but okay. I love it, though. It says this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Everybody has a different hang-up with their mouth. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Everybody has something, a way they speak. Not everybody's the same. One person has a problem with the way they speak in this area. Another person has a problem with what they speak in this area. Another person has a problem with they'll take in a lot of garbage. They won't block it. They'll take it in. And you have to many times have God do an inventory with you and say, you know what? My mouth actually mattered. And I'm going to start paying attention to that because I get into a situation and I begin to respond with my mouth. Until I went and heard Pastor Mike today, I didn't realize that my responses are killing me. I blame my situations. But it was my mouth that descended me into the abyss of depression. It was my mouth that multiplied my unbelief. It was my mouth that made me a disgruntled employee. It wasn't the job. The job was the same when I started it. Did I hate it the day I started it? No. Why do I hate it on day 100? I'm here. And a lot of times we blame external circumstances for stuff that is totally internalized. It's stuff we're dealing with. Listen, if any of us deal in different industries, we deal with people. I've dealt with good, bad, and other. I've dealt with people that, you know, one, you go, hey, I'm glad you're here. Another person comes to you like, oh, Jesus, you know what I mean? And it happens. That's a reality sometimes. And you're like, you're a blessing to me. Another person comes and you're like, oh, Lord, cover me, cover me, cover me. Mm-hmm. I've had that many times. If you deal in the trades in the building, I got to tell you, there's all kinds of characters. You can line them up against the wall from soup to nuts. Some you love being around and some you wonder. I've seen carpenters cuss out a piece of wood. I actually thought they were getting in a fight. I went downstairs to find out they were just cussing at an angle. I thought, that's interesting, you know? You know, especially people get animated and you've had it. I'm gonna set you in line. I'm thinking, I better run down there. They're going to hit another worker. And it's just a piece of wood they couldn't get to fit. It's like, okay. Hey, my father cussed at car parts for decades. And I once told him, I said, I just don't think that's going to put that screw in there the right way. But okay. As we close, let's stand up and let's think about this, guys. I want you to realize that you can see things change, and your mouth sometimes is where it starts, not your situation. And oh, yes, you can have hard situations. But then I'm looking at the apostles, and I've whined plenty in my life, and I've complained plenty, I guarantee it. I've looked at situations where I've got Peter. Remember, they're singing in the prison. You know how horrible Roman prisons were? They were nasty. Paul's writing epistles in the prison. You know, it's funny. Paul's in chains and he says, you know, I might be in chains, but the gospel cannot be chained. Do you understand what he could have been saying? This place smells like urine. There's rats going around that are as big as me. I hate this. I didn't do nothing wrong. Why am I being falsely accused? There's so many things the men in the scripture could have said that they didn't. But what he says is, hey, you can chain me, but you won't chain the gospel. That's an amazing, out of his mouth, that's an amazing thing. And then Paul says, I've learned the secret of being hungry and being filled, of having much and having nothing. I used to read that and go, you know, that's a really weird scripture. Well, I realized later the secret was that his circumstances didn't control him. And I thought, there you go, that's the secret right there. I'm sure there's more to it. Maybe other preachers would bring out other points. But let's just pray today and let's ask the Lord. Father, today it says we stumble in many ways, but the writer, James, seems to imply that stumbling in your mouth, though, is to be paid attention more than other areas you stumble in. Lord, we're looking at cause and effect. There's no doubt in my mind that our mouth can set on fire the course of our life, or our mouth can be filled with the truth of God and set our life on fire with the fire of God. It's a totally different thing. Lord, everyone has either victimized, been a victim, or listened when they shouldn't have. Everyone has had that welling up of hopelessness, and then they started speaking it. And it unleashed a negative flood in their life. Lord, stop us from continually just looking at our circumstances and our bad responses with our mouth. We're just saying, well, the circumstances this way, and I'm just responding. That's garbage. Many times, Lord, our insights are changing because of how we speak about things. Our insights are descending and burning because of our mouth, not because of our situation. I pray a blessing today, because what I love in the scripture is that you don't say these things, Lord, because they're impossible to get right. In fact, that's nonsense. You don't say, this is super hard, who can do that? You said, actually, any man, you know, can control his mouth, he can control his entire being. Father, I believe that you tame the tongue, and I believe your spirit tames the tongue. I've been a recipient of it. But it's funny, Lord, even as we are recipients and have seen even how language changes when we come to you, we still, at times, sin with it. And that's where you want a consistency in us, your people. You want us to be a perfect man, not speaking to that which is without flaw, but speaking to consistency. Lord, sometimes there's a response in our lives that you're looking for out of our mouths. You're looking for it. It's specific. There's a specificity to it. You want us to say a certain thing. You want us, even to a disaster, you want us to respond in a particular way. And it blesses your heart when we speak accordingly. Father, help us to grow and to mature. And Lord, the way I see it, if our mouth is starting on fire the course of our life, then our mouths can stop the same fire we started. Lord, help us to know by what we say sometimes or think that doesn't need to make it out the mouth, because many times we don't think good things. And many times we want to say the wrong things. And we don't realize, just because it's in our head and came into our mind, Lord, to not say it, we're far better off to say, I'm taking that imagination, I'm taking that statement, it's gone, I'm not saying it. Lord, fire always needs something that's flammable to burn. If you give fire nothing that it can burn, the flame stops. That's a beautiful thing about fire. As destructive as it is, if it lacks oxygen and lacks flammable things, it stops to burn. I like that, Lord. That imagery, even though you used it, we didn't. Bless us today with our mouths. Help us, God. Help us, God. Help us, God.
Yes, God.
To understand what it is to build up. Lord, I had that verse, the words of a whisper are like, you know, dainty morsels. It goes into our innermost being, that when we were praying, that's the thing that struck me. And it was no shock, because I was preaching about the tongue and today. And I was just thinking, people have been cursed by what they've listened to. They've had their attitudes changed by really, you know, subtle words, but words that powerfully disarmed them of the word, disarmed them of God's important truth, disarmed them of Scripture, God's way. Many people have heard just the right words at the right time. Many lives have been ruined by this. I would pray, Father, that we would not be those that allow the words of a whisperer. We don't want that. We don't want stuff going into our innermost being that pollutes us, God. Help us to be selective. Lord, I love it when somebody says, you know, I don't get into all that. I don't even like to talk about that. That's a good thing, God, because that means there is a principle. They don't want to waste time. And even as I was saying earlier about verbiage, my wife had talked about verbiage, and it's important. Words matter. And if we're willing to waste time on words without wisdom or empty words, words that just don't do nothing for anybody, idle words, help us, God, to be more selective as we grow, and use us as a powerful source of speaking the literal word of God, of speaking the word that God would have us speak in the moment, yes, in the season, yes, in the time. Lord, we think words are weak. We think they don't do anything. I hear the term, it's just words all the time. But that's just not what your scripture says. For your kids, words matter. Lord, this is an area of maturity as we close that I believe is real critical, not spoken of a lot. But we need it. We definitely need it. The church in America needs it. Christians all over the world need to know how to bless with their mouth and how to avoid cursing with their mouth. So as we go today, we thank you, Father. Your word is crystal clear. Your agenda is crystal clear. You know what you're doing. Touch us today, Lord. Heal the hearts here too. Heal the hearts, God. Many people get injured. They've been injured by words. They've been injured by bad words. They've been injured by things people say. Lord, you know, walking in offense is one of the most dangerous things we can do. To be offended is to have an open door. So help us as we go today to be as your sons and your daughters, speaking what the Father gives us and refusing to speak other. of your blessings today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.